praise God, this is my Father's world. You know, sometimes it seems like there's a bit of chaos taking place, and there is, and man thinks they're in charge, but they're not. And Jesus Christ is going to make it all right someday. He's coming soon. All right, we'll just dismiss the kids. Go with Mrs. Shore to the creche. And Benson's helping her there. I think he's a little too old to go to class, so must be helping. Joshua chapter 4. And your Bible is Joshua chapter 4. And as we've just done in our church, we enjoy singing old hymns. And, you know, the old hymns aren't inspired, but you know, I think they're the best hymns. They have been around, gone through the test of time, and have just stuck with us, and we thank God for those hymns. But you know, sometimes as we sing them, we may not always know what we're singing. There might be something we have to stop and think about and consider. One hymn like that is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's written by Robert Robinson way back in 1758. And it says this: Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Then it says, here I raise my Ebenezer. And you get to that verse and you're like, okay, question mark. And hither by thy help I'm come. And there's a clue in the text there, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. So we're singing along, we're getting most of it. We get to, here I raise my Ebenezer. You know, you got to stop and rewind and think, what does that mean? If we're to ask our Sunday school children what about that, they might think it's like Lazarus, you know, being raised from the dead or something like that, somebody else in the Bible. You might think of, you know, the Scrooge character, Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, Dickens or something like that. But this Ebenezer is actually not a person. It is a stone, and it's a Bible story, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 7. It's not our text this morning, but it has to do with our text, as you'll see. And so it says, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistine. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone, here it is, Ebenezer, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued. They came to war into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So Samuel says, God has worked for us. He's done something great. He sets up a stone, calls it Ebenezer. It's not an idol. It's not a graven image. It's just a stone to remind the people that, you know, up until this point, God has worked. It's like a milestone. A milestone is something significant that you've gotten past, something that you've achieved, that you've done, and you want to mark that and remember what has happened there. You know, in the last 18 months, our church has gone through a very difficult time. Now, we haven't moped through it or sorrowed through it, but it's been difficult with COVID. It's impacted everybody, but it has definitely impacted our church. And as I prayed about earlier, we went to immediately recording services, and that was us for a little while. And then we found out about Zoom. Then we did a combination. And then we got back to some meetings, and then we got out of meetings again because the second lockdown, and then we went all Zoom. And I mean, it was just an interesting time. But, you know, today we're hitting a milestone. Returning to regular church services that, though we are online, these are all live. We're back to our normal schedule. We don't have the switch going on anymore on Sundays, and that's great, and that's a significant thing for us. We've got a great facility that God's provided that we rejoice in and praise God for, that we could be in this place worshiping God. You know, there's a potential for significant spiritual growth, numerical growth, just physical growth for us as a church in this place as we wait on God for that permanent location that we're praying about. We're trusting God to give. So I want to say today, praise God for this milestone. But also in our Christian life and experience, there's going to be times that we hit those milestones. I mean, where you just look at it and say, you know, God has done something significant. God has worked in a significant way. And we want to mark those times in a tangible way. And it's good to have something tangible. It's good to have a place or a thing, or, you know, sometimes we, obviously in our day, we got all the technology, we got all the pictures, and even the, you know, Facebook giving us memories from, and things like that. But it's good to have something that reminds us, you know, of what God has done. I want to ask you today, you know, have you put up any Ebenezers in your home? Anything that has marked that milestone, those signs of victory that we're talking about, that you can look at and say, you know what, God has done something significant. You'll see in our text today that Joshua and the children of Israel hit a very significant point in their existence. And God very specifically has them set up these signs of victory so that they can remember everything that God's done. I want to help us do that today as a church, that we think about that. So let's pray, ask the Spirit of God to help us as we come to the Word of God. Father, I thank you for the grace that you give. And Father, you have been faithful. Look back at the past year and a half. It's not something that we choose to go through as a nation, as a people, as a family, as a church. But Father, COVID-19 happened. And yet, you're faithful. You've given us wisdom. It's been a little bit of the wilderness wanderings for us as a church, and not kind of knowing exactly how it's going to work out. But Father, as we get to this day today, I want to encourage us. Let's put up a sign of victory today, but also in our lives, Lord, as we look at our lives and we see what you've done, that we have those things that remind us. And Father, just like this story, that would be things that we look back on and say, wow, you know what? God did something very significant. And Father, we can't listen without the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we praise you for the children in the creche, their opportunity to hear the Word of God on a level that they can understand. And Father, pray for Mrs. Shore as she guides in that you speak to each heart of each child. Father, would you grow our children's ministry? We pray that we could be very effective in reaching our kids with the gospel. And Father, seeing them grow in their walk with God. But Father, in this time, in this place, we need ears to hear. Father, would you do that? Would you open up our ears to hear? Would you give us hearts that would really embrace the truth? And Father, I can't speak without your enablement, so I ask that the Spirit of God would guide me as I speak. Lord, I pray that the message of your word would be brought out with the authority of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth. So that's our desire today, and so I pray for that and commit this service to you for your blessing now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Joshua chapter 4 again is where we're at. And it's the children of Israel, and they're going to put up a sign of victory. There's a little bit different. It was one stone there, Ebenezer, for Samuel. It's 12 stones that are going to be here. So there are many stones in this, these victory stones that are put up. And again, I just want to say to us as a church, God wants us, or wants you, to set up a sign of victory. It's not a bad thing. Again, it's not idolatry. We're not going to have a stone that is something that we bow down to, or that we worship, or anything like that. But it's just something to testify to us about what God has done. These victory stones in our text, they were God's idea. It says in verse 1, it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying. All right, Joshua chapter 4, you look at it there in your Bible, it's a pretty big chapter. But this whole chapter is all about this. It's all about these victory stones. It's all about that God came to Joshua, came to the children of Israel, and said, this is something that I desire you to do. And again, you ask the question, why? Why did they set it up? Well, it was so that man would never forget. The memorial, again, was God's idea. You know, we forget pretty easy, don't we? Those of us that are older, we understand that, you know, we better write things down. You know, a wife, if she's sending her husband to get some things from the grocery store, she's very wise to put it in written information, to knowing that occasionally as men, we might forget, you know, what we were sent out to do. It's a student that's in class is sitting down and You know, it's a good thing to take notes and to remember and say, hey, I'm going to jot this down so that I can remember and that I don't forget. You know, the secretary here at this place, we've got Wi-Fi here and there's a code for it and I've got to get into the building and we've got to disarm the building. If nobody else is here, just turn off the alarm, you know, and then when we leave, we've got to reset the alarm. And she told me that information, but I was glad that she also emailed it to me. So that I've written information that I can look at and say, okay, yeah, that's right. That's what I need to do. You know, I encourage you, as God works in your life, I'll often do this as somebody gets saved. I'll say, write that date in your Bible. It's good to have that. You know, some of us got saved and we don't have that. That's all right. We don't know exactly what the date was back when we got saved. But it's a great thing for somebody that's gotten saved to write that down and say, you know what, that's when God began to change my life. That's when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Or God works in our hearts in maybe another way, the Spirit of God, calling us into certain ministry, leading us to a specific thing, directing us in a certain way. It's good to make a note of that so we can look back at that and say, you know what, God did that. You know, are you putting any reminders into your life? You know, these victory stones, again, that was God's idea. God said, this is a great thing. Put up something as a memorial that will remind you of what I've done. But then the victory stones as well are for every family. It says in verse 2, it says, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe. Man, you remember Jacob, you know, Abraham's the father of Israel, but it was his grandson, Jacob, that had the 12 tribes. And really, the 12 tribes are also not just the 12 sons, but included in Joseph is, you don't have the tribe of Joseph. You've got Ephraim and Manasseh. Those two tribes represent Joseph. But I mean, those stones were one from each family group. And each family group had played a part as they traveled. Each one had different responsibilities in the wilderness wanderings, and that's where we're at in the story of Israel. It's that they're almost finished; they're getting ready in our story to finish their wilderness wanderings. It's going to be over, and each one had an important part that they played in that congregation. You know, as we look at that as a church again, everyone should realize today that you've got an important part in what God is doing at Free Baptist Church. As I look out at the people that make up our church, every single one has an important part to play. You know, as a church, if we're going to set up a sign of victory, and I pray that someday soon that might be a permanent church building that testifies to the goodness of God, everybody that has been a part of this has a part in that. And it's right that God says, you know, take one of every tribe because they represent the group, the people. It's important for us to do this, set up these memorials as individuals as well as corporately. And then the victory stones are not optional. It says in verse 3, it says, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Okay, God said, this is not suggestive, all right? This is commanded. This is not just an idea that, you know, give it, take it or leave it. This is something that, Joshua, I tell those people, this is God's will that you do this. I was witnessing to a man this week in West Linton, just a village about 15 minutes from here. It's actually close enough. It'd be very easy for people from there to come to this location. But as I was witnessing to him, just speaking to him about God and man's need to respect God and honor God, I spoke to him about the Ten Commandments, and two in particular. I said, you know, there's two commandments there about God primarily here, and that is do not profanely use God's name, right? Why? Because I said to him, I said, what's your name? And I said, if I just use your name flippantly or when I'm upset, I mean, it's showing great disrespect to you, great dishonor to you. And so God says that as human beings, our heart is so callous that if we begin to use God's name flippantly, then it affects our heart and it shows our heart towards God. God's name is holy. God's name is to be used with wisdom. So we understand that that has to do with respect to God. But the other one I mentioned to him is that there's one day a week set aside by God that is a day of worship. Understand, in the Old Testament, it was the Saturday. It was this Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath, God says in chapter 20 of Exodus in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Because if you go out and play football on the Sabbath, and you go out and play football on the Sabbath, and you go out, you do your hobbies on the Sabbath, you go to work on the Sabbath, and pretty soon you're never being engaged with the Word of God. Pretty soon you're very distant from God, in that relationship with God that should be there between man and Creator is broken. Why? Because you cease to meet with God and cease to honor God. And so that memorial, that observation of that command is something that God gave. Why? So that we don't forget God. Additionally, as a church, last Sunday, we observed the Lord's table, the first Sunday of every month in our evening service. We do that. But as we do that because God's commanded it. Why did God command it? By the way, in my Bible this morning, I was reading, you know, they came together on the first day of the week and they broke bread. And, you know, as a church, it's not commanded in the Word of God that we do this every Lord's Day. The Bible says, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup. So there's a little bit of leeway in that. But it was something that they frequently observed. Why? So that we don't forget today what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary as he shed his blood, as his body was broken. It's a memorial. It's kind of like these victory stones that we're talking about. God commanded it so that as we observe it, even today, as we're here in the house of God, why is this good? Because it is coming together again to think about God. As we come to the Lord's table, it's coming again together to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, these things, as we speak about them, they're not optional. The Bible says about John, the disciple John, Revelation 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard me a great voice as of a trumpet. You know, John was worshiping God on the Lord's day. The Lord's day was the day that they got together to worship God. And you know, the Bible says about the Lord's day, it says, and as we read in Sunday school, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, in our day, it's kind of like this. Nobody's going to come Sunday night. Nobody's going to come midweek. So what are we going to do? We'll cancel the Sunday night service. We'll cancel the Wednesday night service. Pretty soon, I don't know what it's going to be. Hey, we'll meet every other week. Hey, we'll meet once a month. I mean, how far do you go trying to appease people? And yet the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But then it says, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, if we were going to be a biblical church, we'd have to stop and say, you know what, we need to get together a little bit more. We need to have some evangelistic meetings. We do desire to do that, Lord willing. We'll get back to that. We haven't been able to the last 2 years. Because of COVID, but there's no excuse soon for us to be able to have a week of meetings. But hey, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so God has given us these ideas, these things, these signs of victories that he's commanded. It's God's idea for every family and is commanded. He wants us to do it. And then secondly, God is looking for men and women to set up signs of victory. Okay, so God is desiring certain people to be the people that be the ones that get those signs of victory up. And so we see in our text here that these men were chosen men and women. It says in verse 4, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. Okay, I don't know all the qualifications that he looked at. He had prepared them, but I suggest that maybe he prepared them like this, you know, something like that. Or why these guys had to be strong guys? They're going to pick up a stone out of the center of that river, and they're going to put that on their shoulder, and they're going to carry that to the place that was the place that it needed to go to. You know, when I was in uni, I was a sophomore, I think, and I was put on a barrel crew, and I got there, and they said, wow, we are so short on the men that we need to do this. And actually the boys, really, we were just kind of grown up teenagers. And they said, there's only 5 of us, but we've got a warehouse full of barrels. And the weight limit was 75 pounds, but I'm just here to say, I know some of those girls didn't weigh their barrels. They were storage barrels for the students. And we had to get them out back to the rooms before, you know, the students got there. And so they chose us. And you know why? Not because we're strong men, because we're the only men available. But you know, it would have been wise for that job to look at that and say, you know what? We need somebody that can take a hold of that stuff, pick it up, because you had to put it up on your shoulder and stack it 3 high in a lorry and get it to where it needs to go. We need some strong guys to do that. You know, Joshua, again, had thousands of men to choose from. I don't think he looked at somebody that was weak. I know that. He didn't look at somebody that's infirm. He looked at guys that had physical strength, that could take that stone, put it up on their shoulder, and take it where it needed to go. You know, today, God isn't looking for physically strong people at Free Baptist Church. But God is absolutely looking for spiritually strong people, people that are spiritually fit, as the Bible says in Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, we want to be somebody that, by the grace of God, and we need to set up these signs of victory. We need to be able to put these evidences up for the world to see, for our family to see, for our community to see, but for them to be set up, it's going to take spiritually fit people. It's going to be taking chosen people that can do the job that God desires them to do. You know, is he preparing you today to be somebody that participates in them? Somebody that is prepared by God to set up a sign of victory. Chosen men and women. Then they were willing men and women. It says in verse 5, it says, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, these guys weren't volunteers. They're chosen. But I'll say this about them. They were willing. You don't see any, you know, battle going on there. It's just a willingness to say, you know, the charge has been given, they'll accept it, they'll take it. And I'll say about our barrel crew, we weren't chosen in a sense, we were just kind of what they had. But we were willing, and we worked hard. And I've shared this before, but I visited the loading dock where we would load those up, and the man that's there at the distribution center, Mr. Vincent, I visited him like 15 years later. And as I talked with him, he pointed up on the wall, and there's a picture of our barrel crew, our 5 guys. And he says, you know what? When I get a barrel crew in here, I point at that. I said, if they did it, you can do it too. Why? Because we were willing, right? I mean, we got in there. It was a lot of work running. I mean, we were running with those hand trucks down the hall. Mr. Vincent had a cherry picker. He'd lift it up to the level that we were on, put it in the window. And I mean, we were running them down the hall, getting them to where they needed to go because we were willing. You know, today, as you look at your life, are you ready to run for God? You know, you might not be the strongest, but maybe just say, hey, I want to be stronger as a Christian, but I'm willing today. I want to be somebody that if you say, you know, God says, do this, set up the sign of victory. I want to be somebody that gets involved there and gets it done. God help us. God help us to be willing. And then faithful men and women. It says in verse 6 and 7 that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. Okay, they're going to put that up. They needed faithful men to get that up. They need to get the job done because that was going to be a sign to future generations. I'm sure you're aware that yesterday was 9/11. 20 years ago, and I said to my family, he said, not often that you remember 20 years ago where you were, but it's very easy for us, and I'm sure it's very easy for those that were old enough to remember where you were on 9/11. My wife and I were in New York City. I was an assistant pastor at a church there, and she was the Christian school teacher. I should have been closer to Manhattan on that day, but she had a dentist appointment. I wasn't able to go to the pastor's fellowship that was taking place, so I was there at the school. It was good that I was there, because when 9/11 happened, we had to obviously take care of things with the kids and figure out where everyone needed to go. And a man named Dave Carnes stopped by the church, and I put a link on Facebook. You can check it out, but Dave Carnes is a hero that went down to 9/11 on that day, stopped by, prayed with the pastor, and then he went down as into that area, walked out into the mess and the carnage of Ground Zero, located two Port Authority policemen, and helped rescue them from the rubble of Ground Zero. It's a really neat story of God's grace. But these men are heroes, and all those men that instead of fleeing, you know, they got there with the rescue equipment, they went up the stairs. Everybody else is coming down the stairs. Those people deserve to be honored. And they're faithful men that said, hey, never forget. Remember, that was the statement, never forget. They built a memorial, and they put it there so that people could remember the lives that were lost, as well as the heroic actions of the rescuers that went into that place to save others. You know, today, what are we seeking to do? We're seeking to see faithful men that will put up a memorial to our faithful Lord. Our Savior that died for the sins of the world. Our Savior that sacrificed his life so that others could live. Our Savior that has done so many great and awesome things and is able to do so many great and awesome things in man's life. But we need faithful men that will put up the memorial that people will look at and say, hey, God did that. It takes faithful men to be able to do that. Without faithful men, we wouldn't have the memorial that we have there at Ground Zero. Without faithful men in our churches and faithful women in our churches, we're not going to have the memorials that people need to say, hey, there is a God. And then obedient men and women. As God looks for somebody, he's looking for obedient men and women. It says in verse 7, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. It happened. I mean, they got out there in the middle of that river, the Jordan River. The waters parted. They walk out there. They pick up, the men pick up the stones, put them up on their shoulders. They go to Gilgal. You'll notice in the story as well, Joshua takes up 12 stones. He puts them out in the middle of the river where when the water comes back, they'll still, when that flood goes down, they'll still be visible as a reminder of what God had done. They were obedient. They did it. They got the job done. You know, I wonder how many times Joshua went down there to see that. He says here in our text, it's towards the end of his life, obviously, and he just says to them, hey, you know what? They are there unto this day. I've said it before, but other generations other than our own have put up memorials. They're out there. We can look back and we can look at buildings. We can look at schools and universities and seminaries and places of Christian education or Christian camps. And we can see what others have done for God and for God's glory. We can pick up a book as our family's reading Mueller's biography. And you can read about the great things that took place down there in England as God used George Mueller to raise up those orphan homes for some 2,500 orphans that were provided for God, by faith. Just trusting God, believing that God was able. And I mean, we look at those stories and we look at those testimonies and we say, hey, those guys got it done. They were obedient to God. And again, in our generation, we just need to look up to God and say, okay, God, you know what? We may not be the strongest, but God, we're willing. And God will be faithful. And God will be obedient. And God will seek to build something that people look at and they see what God has done. Why? Because that's what we're doing. God wants the sign of victory to commemorate his blessing. God desires these signs so that what he has done is seen, that what he has done is evident. There were wonderful things in this story that were to be remembered by future generations. I said recently, I've been reading a big book. If you looked at it, it's a very thick folio about Charlotte Street Chapel. And Charlotte Street in Edinburgh is a Baptist church. It's some 200 and I think about 20 some years old. It's a church that has a rich history of what it's accomplished for God and for God's glory. But you know, after about 100 years into that ministry, which seems like an incredibly long time, but they began to forget what God had done. There was a man named Andrew Urquhart, the church secretary. And the story it says that he had an offer from a company to buy the church for a warehouse. And he said this, and they were down to like 30 people. He said, I for one am not going to believe that the light which has burned for so long in this place is going to be put out, that the people who so long labored for the advancement of the Redeemer's cause are to retire from the work in despair, that the door of this dear old chapel, hallowed by many blessed and holy memories, is to be closed and the building itself turned into a music hall or a grocery store. No, brethren, I don't believe it, and in your hearts neither do you. I believe the crisis is of God and that he will bring us through it. And he looked back and he saw the stones and he goes, God has been for us. God has been working. He looked at the very building itself and says, a testimony to what God has done. And he looked at that and he said, I don't believe that God has done with this. You know, again, that's what we need. We need something that anchors our mind in the fact that, you know what, God is doing something. God has done something. So in our text here, what blessings could these stones remind them of? Well, it would remind them of God's blessing upon a step of faith. It says in verse 10, it says, for the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. Now, if you remember the story, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, but this story is interesting because it really was a step of faith. Turn your Bibles back to Joshua chapter 3, and we'll look at a little bit of the story. It was a very interesting step of faith. It says in verse 12, now therefore take you 12 men, these are our men, out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, notice what it says, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, that as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest. It was flood time. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zeratin. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Okay, that's amazing. And it's different than the crossing the Red Sea. The Red Sea was much bigger. The Red Sea parted before they ever started. Remember? But in this story, you've got the priest having to step out. And the Bible says, as soon as the foot, the sole of the foot of the priest touched the water, then the waters parted. You know, that's a step of faith, isn't it? It takes faith to just get to that point. I mean, I don't know. You're just going to get wet. But the priest is thinking, right, we're going to walk across a flooded river. Okay, here we go. And he steps out, and the waters part, and it's dry. It's amazing. But it took a step of faith. You know, today, as again, we think about what God is doing, stones of memorial are good to put up when we have seen God work in answer to a step of faith. It might be a step of faith like salvation. Making that decision to trust Christ. So I'm gonna, and you got to think, what's my family going to think about this? You got to think, you know, what, I got to repent of my sin. I got to turn my back on my sin. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can make the change and say to God, God, I'm going to trust you that this is a step of faith. All this baggage that's in my life, I'm going to trust you. But you know what? Take that step of faith. Put up a stone of victory. It's a step of faith for a lot of people to be baptized. In Scotland, people are christened. So if family find out you're going to be baptized after you've already been christened, there might be problems there. You're going to be baptized by immersion in front of people and different things that make it difficult for people to identify with Christ and step it out and say, no, I'm definitely on the side of Christ. I've definitely received Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's a step of faith. It could be joining a church. Obviously, Free Baptist Church is our church. We'd love to have everybody that attends our church become a saved and baptized member of our church. But that's a step of faith. It's commitment. You know, in our day doesn't like commitment. Our day doesn't like responsibility. That you know, that there's a fact that I join that, and so there's accountability that's there. Yet that's God's will for somebody that's saved and somebody that's baptized. That would be part of a local church. That's a step of faith. It could be surrender. You know, if you're going to surrender your life, you've got to be willing to say to God, okay, God, hands off my life. Whatever, God, you desire to do with my life, God, you do that. That's a step of faith. Certainly, if God works in the hearts of our young people or adults about full-time ministry or maybe even ministry in church and say, all right, I'm going to get involved in Sunday school. I'm going to get involved in whatever. That's a step of faith. And it's good to have that memorial and say, God, I'm going to do this for your glory. They did this. They set up a stone to remember God's blessing upon that step of faith. His blessing of bringing them into the promised land. It says in verse 11, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over. Okay, we read the story and we think, well, they just crossed a river. But they crossed a river out of the wilderness into the promised land. And the wilderness was in the past for the last 40 years. They had wandered in a desert area been fed, the Bible says, with manna and all these things that was constantly in front of them. When are we ever going to get there? Kids, as kids would maybe do, asking, are we there yet? And finally, they've crossed over into that place. You know, I say to our church this morning that someday the days of wandering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, and wandering, W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, the idea of not knowing and still being transient, someday by God's grace, it's going to be over. Someday God's going to bring us to that place where this is the final home of Free Baptist Church. And again, we're going to set up something that testifies that God's done. But again, for us, spiritually, there's going to be many times where God brings you through and delivers you. It's good to have that memory that God has done it. And so bringing you, as it were, into the promised land, the place of blessing. And then God's blessing upon a joint effort of the congregation. And so we look at the story here in verse 11, and we've got the spiritual leadership leading the way. It says that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. Then we've got the military and the congregation. It says in verse 12, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. And then you got the physical leader of the children of Israel, Joshua. It says in verse 14, it says, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. You know, everyone's going to have a story on this day. Can you imagine? Again, I want to rewind the Bible a little bit, get involved in that story, and see exactly what took place. But I'll say this, rather than being somebody that looks at the memorial in the future and sees what God did, I think I could say I'd rather be somebody that went through it and got to come out and pass through that river and see exactly what God had done. Now, the downside is you got to go through the wilderness to get there. But the experience, surely, is greater than the memorial. And for our church, I reminded us of this morning in church planting. As the church is still establishing itself, praise God, we've hit some milestones this past year as we chartered the church. We got excited about that. God's provided the money for us to purchase a property. But it's a little bit like Israel in the wilderness. It's a little bit like that uncertainty and that transient time and the kind of the tough time. But this group is going to be the group that can look back and say to the future generations, I was there when God did that. It's not just what my parents told me about those stones and what took place, but I was there and I saw what God did. You know, praise God for those joint efforts that a congregation makes that you can look back at and say, you know what, this is what God did. And then his blessing of miracles given by his great grace. It says in verse 15, it says, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. You know, as they stood looking at the Jordan River in flood stage, you know what it was? It was impossible. The promised land's right on the other side. They can see it. God says it's for them, but there is no physical way to get past it. Millions of people are going to pass through the Jordan River in our story. But not a single one of them had the ability to pass through the Jordan River. Nobody could say, I did that. You know, I stopped the water for everybody until everybody was passed, and then they got past it. And I'll say this for us as a church and as an individual and as a family. We don't like to be on the other side of impossible from blessing. We don't like to have that which we look at and say, I have no idea. I have no idea how we're going to get past there. But you know, when the memorial's put up, it's going to say, only by God's grace, right? It's God did this. God did this. And see, as a church, I'll just put it again with our prayer that God would provide a permanent location for our church. Jeremiah 33:3, call up to me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. This is the beginning of the answer to that prayer, specifically with regard to our church location, that God's given us such a great temporary location that we had no clue about. But the impossible barrier that we look at and say, God, land is so expensive. Building, the cost of building is up astronomically here with COVID and Brexit. But God is God. And it might be in your personal life, you look at something, you say, there's no way. I know blessings on the other side. I know if I could just get over there, you know, hope deferred, making the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's the tree of life. How does it come? It comes by the grace of God. It comes by God enabling that to be done, which can only be done by his grace. You know, my office, if you come into my office at my home, on the wall, there's a plaque and it says, with God, all things are possible. All things. And so you might look at it and say, Pastor, there's no way. Okay, fine. I mean, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we need to say, God, get us to the other side. You know, just keep praying about it. Say, God, do it. And when you do it, I'm going to set up a stone of victory. I'm going to set up something that testifies to the fact that God has done it. Because it's about setting up something that shows his blessing, about his miracles and his great grace. And so God, help us to do that. And then lastly here this morning, God wants his people to revisit the sign of victory. God wants his people to revisit the sign of victory. You know, in my mind today, I can revisit where I surrendered to ministry, the Wilds Christian Camp, North Carolina. I can revisit where God called me to preach, Bob Jones University, after a preacher boys class, a church planter from the West, and God called me to church planting. I can revisit where God called me into missions, where I surrendered my life to missions in Michigan, down in the basement of the church property. And it's only missions because God called me to church planting in Scotland. I do say God never called me to missions, but it's missions when you leave your home nation, raise support, and go to another country. But I can revisit those places. And it's good for us today. And I just want to encourage you in your heart just to go back a little bit and kind of revisit where it all began. Because if you read in verse 19, it's good for us to revisit where we enter into victory. The Bible says in verse 19, the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And it was in this place, that place where they first came into the promised land, they set up those stones. So when they went back to that place, it'd be like, hey, that's where it all began. All the good things that God's done in this land, it all started right there. Last year, I was able to go back to the church where I got saved. And I wish I could have gone inside. I couldn't go inside. But to stand outside that little wood church building in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, Rock Lake Baptist Church, it's good to go back and just say, I remember that day as a little child going down and getting saved. You know, what about you today? So you think back about what God's done. Think back about God's goodness and salvation or his mercy in your life. It's good to revisit those things. And then revisit the place of victory and instruct your children. It says in verse 20, those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And so these future generations will say, hey, mom and dad, what's that about? And mom and dad say, hey, let me tell you, this is what God did in our generation. And let me tell you about your grandparents' generation, what God did back then too, because God is the same, and God is, this God is your God, and God can dry up rivers for you as well. You know, I'm a happy tour guide. When I was in New York City, I enjoyed taking people in on the subways there to tour Manhattan. And here in Edinburgh, it's been a while now because of COVID, but I enjoy taking people in, and especially showing them the Christian history and saying to them, this is what God has done in this place in the past. It's marvelous what God has done. And for our kids to ask us and say, hey, what's God done in the past? Why? Because our generation, I'll just say it, our generation is not seeing the greatness of what God can do as God has exhibited it in the past. Right now, we just got to revisit those stones. We want to put up stones for this generation. But right now, we just got to revisit stones and say, hey, this is what God has done. And then lastly, revisit the place of victory and walk in the fear of God. It says in verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. As you go back to that, you ought to be reminded of the awesomeness of God. I think if I was a child back in the day, I'd look at that. You know, God parted that? I don't want to mess with God. God's a great God. We don't act, we ought to defile, you know, God's things. We ought to sanctify God's things. We ought to sanctify God's day, because that's a great God. And today, would to God, that's the way the Spirit of God would work in our hearts. And we just think, man, we can't neglect these stones, because if we do, our families will not walk in the fear of God as they are. And so this morning, it's good for us to set up these stones. And it might be physical. It might be a marker. In our home, if you come into my home and you come around into my living room, you'll see a wee plaque on the wall. And when God did the miracle of allowing us to purchase that property, I decided, we were reading through George Mueller's biography, I think back then as well, and there was a quote in that said this: everything you see here is a testimony of what God has done for you. So said George Mueller to an orphan girl who marveled at the grand orphan home God had provided. And for my kids' sake, for my sake, I've got the plaque there for people that visit our home. God did it. I mean, it was. I can tell you the story of the miracles that God did for us to be able to get that property. When we get a church property, I've said to the church, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. It's going to go on a plaque. It's going to be inside there. But today, it's not just plaques, is it? It's places. It's memories. It's us thinking about it and saying, hey, this is what God did here. I want to remember this. I want to do something to anchor this down in my life. You know, do you have those signs of victory in your life? You might just be starting out and putting those up. It might be somebody getting saved today, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, taking that step of faith and writing it down and saying, hey, this is the day that I accepted Christ my Savior. It might be somebody saying, I need to be baptized. I've accepted Christ as my Savior, but I've been too shy, whatever. I haven't taken that step, but I want to come out publicly and say, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I want the church to know it. Might be somebody that wants to be a church member, somebody that wants to get involved in ministry, somebody that wants to do something for God, set up a stone, a memorial, and say, God, by your grace, I'm just going to put up a stone of victory right here. This is how you work in my life. I want to remember it. I want it to be known. I want other generations to look back and say, hey, that's what God did in their life. And by God's grace in our church, as well as in our community. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray as the Spirit of God to work in our invitation time. Father, we're thankful for all the things that you've done. And Father, I pray that our generation can see the greatness of God. I feel badly, Lord, that we haven't set up the stones that we need to set up for the future generations. But we can. And Father, I believe we are as a church. Father, I believe we are in what we're seeing you do in our assembly. And Father, I believe that we can be in our families as we get saved, as we get baptized, as we get involved and join the church and get active serving God. I believe that's exactly what we're doing. We're setting up something that's an identifying point that somebody can look at and say, tell me about your God, because I see your God at work in your life. And Father, I just pray this morning, it might be somebody thinking, you know what, I should get saved today. Lord, your word says today is the day of salvation. Father, we pray that they'd be born again. Maybe somebody thinking they need to be baptized or need to join the church or need to be faithful to church or need to get involved in the church or tithe or something, setting up memorials, somehow doing something tangible that is a testimony to what God is doing in their life. And Father, I pray for that. And so, Father, would you bless the invitation we sing? Maybe not just sing, maybe not just stand up and sing a song and think, well, I'm glad the message is over. It's time to go. I just pray, Spirit of God, give us grace to examine our heart before God and say, God, what can I do to set up a stone of remembrance for God's glory? God, help us to do that. Would you bless us as we sing the hymn of invitation? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.